It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 1 down through verse 5 today. And so please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4, and we'll begin reading with the first verse. And I hope that you're able to read and follow along. If not, please just listen carefully, and I know that you'll enjoy the study of the Word of God. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you would like to leave us an email, you'll find us at, you could do that at parkviewbible@gmail.com. That's parkviewbible@gmail.com. And if you'd like to visit our website, and we have many, many Sunday messages and Bible studies up on this site, along with the plan of salvation and our constitution, and it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. It's a wonderful opportunity we have to come and study the Word of God. Again, Revelation chapter 4. Beginning to read with verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look unto upon like a jasper and a sardis stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. What a beautiful text to read. Now let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you that we have an opportunity to come today together and to study your precious word. There is nothing more exciting than studying your word, learning more about you that we may live to please you, dear Lord. I just ask, dear Father, that you'll guide and lead us as a church, that you will guide and lead us as individuals, and that by proclaiming the gospel on the radio and across the airwaves, that please, dear Lord, that folks will hear and listen and respond and realize that that's the only way that there's going to be peace and joy no matter what's going on in the world. We need, dear Father, Christian leaders in government. We need Christian leaders, whether it's local or township, city, county, state, federal, whatever. We need to be involved, Father, and we need to have those kinds of people, good, moral, born-again believers, helping to guide, because the only way that we can have any kind of leadership is if we are led by you. And so please, dear Father, I thank you that your Son, the Lord Jesus, was willing to come to die on the cross to save my sins and to take my sins away. Thank you, dear Father, and not just mine, but all the world. And all we need to do is believe, is come by faith to the Lord Jesus. So please, please, dear Lord, today, that all that are listening, if they have not come by faith, they'll come today. And please, trust in you. Thank you for this wonderful time. Now please, guide and lead. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this, we need to understand that the book of Revelation is in different divisions. And the first division that we studied was chapter 1. That's the reason that we don't just take, I do the same thing preaching. I don't take just a couple of verses of Scripture, preach out of there, and then the next week be someplace else. I go verse by verse by verse, and we study it by book, and that way we can enjoy the precious Word. And here in the book of Revelation, the first division that we studied was, again, chapter 1, and that's the visions of our glorified Lord. And the second division that we studied and have just completed, and that is in chapter 2 and 3, and that's the letters to the churches. And that was, I love that study. I have enjoyed that many times to hear it preached and also to have taught it. But we find the church of Ephesus was the first, the church of Smyrna, then Pergamos, then Thyatira, then Sardis, then Philadelphia, and then Laodicea. Now, as we said all along, that it was seven literal churches of the time that John was seeing this, and at the same time, it is seven church ages, and we are in the final stage of that in the Laodicean church age. The next division, and this begins in chapter 4, and that's where we read today, and it closes in chapter 22, verse 5. Chapter 4 and 5 introduce the first series of judgments. And so prepare for that. After the church is raptured, the Holy Spirit will not be able to, the power will not be here to restrain evil as it is now. The forces of evil will be so strong upon this earth. Now, when I say when the church is raptured, as we have just studied, and we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians here in just a few moments, but when the church leaves, so will the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believers. That will be gone. The Holy Spirit will come down upon individuals as it did before the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down, the birth of the church. The church age is over. The church age started shortly after the Lord Jesus ascended. He told the folks to go, the apostles to go and wait, and it doesn't say how long, but we know, according to the Word of God, it was 10 days. Because if you'll look at the feasts that were going on, you can see, because the Lord Jesus gave us his time period that he spent on earth before he ascended, and then we know when the next feast, which was Pentecost, and so there are 10 days in there. So for 10 days, they waited. And then upon that time, the birth of the church and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, came down and indwells every believer. That was the birth of the church. Now, for the last 2,000 years, the church has been present on this earth. The nation of Israel was the first evangelist to bring the knowledge and the wisdom of God to a lost world. That was their calling. That's what they were doing. They're God's chosen people and still are. But because they didn't do their job, because they didn't, they got tied up in laws and customs, and they lost sight of their purpose. And their purpose was to tell people about the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. God's love is so great, he's sending the Messiah. And we know that it was by Genesis 3:15 was the first gospel presented. And so everything was set into place from that time on for the Messiah to come and to save. And he gave scripture verse after scripture verse in the Old Testament to build us up, to know. And the introduction of John the Baptist. He said exactly who he was, and Isaiah said in Isaiah's time, this was what would happen, and yet they missed the coming of the Lord Jesus. The Jews ignored it. They did not trust in the Lord Jesus. And so at that point in time, between all their laws and all their customs and not telling people about the coming of the Messiah and believe in the coming Messiah, God had no choice but to set him aside. And so their evangelistic days were over, and he handed that over to the church. And now it's the church's opportunity to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, down at Pentecost to assist us, to direct us and give us strength and power, victory, to build the church. And I'm not talking about a physical building and a local body of believers. Now, local body of believers is the church, but every person that is born again around the world, no matter what church building or wherever you're at, if you're born again, you're a member of the church. So it's our purpose as individual believers to go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus, that Jesus died, Jesus saves. Please come by faith to him. You need your sins forgiven. Well, the church has done just as miserable a job as the Jews. We have become, as the church of Laodicea, lukewarm. I will spew you out of my mouth. And so you see in the scripture, the picture when we study the church of Philadelphia is actually the rapture of the church. They are raptured from here. Verse 10 of the third chapter says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. You see, the church of Philadelphia is when the rapture took place. Now, the church of Laodicea overlaps that and then goes right on into the tribulation period. So the church age will end when Jesus comes to get his church, and we'll meet him in the air. It's not the second coming as we think, because the second coming is when he really plants his feet, and that will be at the end of a tribulation period. That tribulation period, 7 years. We're going to be discussing that at length as we go through these verses of Scripture from chapter 4 down through chapter 22. And so, as we look, but after the church is raptured, the Holy Spirit will not be here to restrain the power, the forces of evil. The earth at that time, during this tribulation period, will become the closest thing to hell that can come. There's only going to be one place worse than here on this earth during that tribulation period, and that's be hell itself. But we need to thank God and praise him that all believers will not be here. They will not have to go into the tribulation period. I am not going to have to go into that. The church is raptured, is taken up, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And so let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. And I hope that you enjoy it. It's a precious scripture verse to know and to read and to learn. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to begin reading with verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it gives us wonderful words in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What is going to take place very clearly, and that is that there's going to be a trump sound, and God's going to call his church out. And so we need to be ready and be prepared. Now, there's only one way to be ready and be prepared, and that's to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then begin to serve and to work. Now, if you choose not to serve and to work, you're still going to heaven because Jesus saves. He doesn't save you temporarily. He saves you eternally. And so once you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus, you're forever saved once and for all. Now, a lot of places, very few places teach that in eternal security. Once saved, always saved. And you say, well, how can that be? Well, Jesus died for me 2,000 years ago. Don't you think you know the sins that I'm going to commit? And yet he still saved me, and he keeps me. What a promise. What a promise. And so most churches do not teach that. They teach contrary to that, because that way they can keep you fearful and afraid. You best serve. You best keep coming. You best keep taking the Lord's Supper. You must be baptized. You must do all these things. And you must stay membership in good standing of this church, or you aren't going to heaven. You're not going to heaven. Now, I once received a letter of excommunication from a church, and they said, if I do not return to that church, that I will go to hell. Now, I'm sorry, my salvation does not hinge on a church membership, any church membership, including this church. My salvation is set and connected with my Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. I have come to him by faith. He has saved me, he is keeping me, and he will keep me eternally. Now, there are three thoughts, and we've kind of looked at this just a little bit, concerning this rapture, when this church leaves, when it's caught up. And that's another word, you're not going to find rapture, but when it's caught up. And some people believe in pre, which is before, some middle time, halfway into the tribulation period, which the tribulation period is 7 years, so keep that in mind. Others believe in a post, which they will go all the way through the tribulation. Now, we'll look again at this just for a short time. We have looked at it once. It's worthy of going through again because we need to know what the Word has to say. Really, I want this to be settled in your mind. And in the first three chapters in Revelation, the Word church or churches occur about 20 times. But beginning with chapter 4 and all the way through chapter 22, verse 17, we will find the word church is not mentioned once. And that's when the tribulation begins. So by the word of God, we can conclude that the church is not on the earth from chapter 4 to chapter 22, 5. That's the time. The last chapter, chapter 22, is where you're going to find that. And so we find in Revelation that one statement is made in Revelation 1:19, and let's turn back to there. It's just a page or so back. 1:19. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So we have three there. We have the things which thou hast seen, the things which are now, and the things which shall be. So three divisions, three different times. John saw the divisions of the glorified Lord. Remember, we talked about that first. Then he saw the seven churches in Asia Minor. At the end of them, he saw the true church, which was Philadelphia, chapter 3, verse 10, caught up, and the lukewarm church, Laodicea, 3:16, be spewed out. Now, we have after the Laodiceans are spewed out, that is when we come to this verse here, and it says, after this I looked. So, you see, after the church age, after the church is raptured between Philadelphia and between Laodicea. Now, again, those two overlap somewhat in the means that the Laodicean church has been here all along, but there is a definite ending of the Church of Philadelphia. And that Church of Philadelphia is, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which is going to come to this earth and those that occupy on the earth. So I hope that helped you to see and to look at these verses of Scripture. You see, everything changes. And up to this point, John is seen here on earth. The events that take place in chapter 2 and 3 are right here on earth. They're physical, literal churches. But the command of the voice now is to come up hither. And so as we look at this first verse, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the voice, first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter, after the church. John leaves the earth, is caught up into heaven. We have just had a conversation with that as we discuss those that have had the opportunity to be in heaven at the throne of God. And is John here one of those? There are very few. Heaven to witness and record the visions that remain in the book of Revelation. And so that's what's coming now. The removal of the true church sets the stage for the devil to take over. And so that's what's to come when the church is removed. And so here in the first verse, after this, after the church has run its course and all things concerning the church has been fulfilled, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now, John chapter 10, verse 9 tells us that Jesus is that door. And he calls John in the Spirit up to where he is, and that's heaven. Now, what a joy for John to be this witness. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And again, John 10:9 says that Jesus is that door. What a picture of the rapture. John, in the when the trump sounds, a twinkling of an eye, was in heaven in the Spirit. Also, that's what happens to every believer when we die. Exactly the same way. In one quick call, John is in the Spirit, in the presence of the Lord. What a great and wonderful day that is. Now, the rapture will be a bodily rapture. In other words, I will receive my glorified body, my perfect body, and go home and forever be with the Lord. That'll be at the rapture. But right now, if I die before the rapture takes place, before he comes to get his church, I will be identical to John. I'll just go in the Spirit, my body will be laid in the grave, and awaiting the coming of the Lord Jesus to get his church, as we've talked about. So that was one reason I wanted to take so much time to kind of build up to this, so that you can see the importance. We have now left the church age. The first voice which I heard, not the first time I heard the voice, but the first voice that I heard, it was Jesus. What a glorious calling. And immediately, verse 2 says, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Immediately, no delay, come up hither. In the Spirit, John's spirit left his body. His body could not be taken, for it was not yet glorified. It still had the old flesh. It was still a mortal body. And that's the reason that if I would die today before he comes to get me and give me my glorified body, my old body has to go lay in the grave and turn back to the dust. But my spirit, I will be in his presence until those two can be reunited. My old body will be brought out and made new, and I'll be able to walk and serve the Lord Jesus through eternity. What a glorious time that's going to be. So we find here, without delay, come up hither, and in the Spirit, John's spirit left the body, and he's in the presence. The second event, a throne was set in heaven. What a sight. A throne that is eternal. You know, all others, through all the centuries, I don't care who you are, has come and gone, has risen and fallen. It doesn't matter. There is nothing in this world that is eternal except my salvation, and that's in my heart. My God, I am going to spend eternity with, because He is eternal. Heaven is eternal. This seems to be the first scene John sees when he arrives. What a symbol of the government, a perfect universal government with Jehovah, with God in control. What a glorious day that's going to be. Today we have so many that are so ungodly that are in our government. They're there for one purpose, and that is to fill their pockets or to lift up their presence so people are acknowledging them. And it's just so sad, because there's nothing there that is, in most cases, there are a few, but few. And we need to continue, again, to put God-fearing men into the politics of this world, into this politics of this country, to reclaim this country. Please, that is my prayer every day. And we need to continue. But this throne, this is a mighty throne. This matches anything that this earth ever has existed, ever seen. It would surpass the throne that Solomon had, that David had, that all that Solomon possessed with all of his wealth and wisdom. This surpasses everything, and that would be the closest we'd have. And so, as God sits on His throne and watches as all the people of the world, as He looks, He sees some praising, some serving. He sees some lazy, some enjoying the world, some worshiping the creation, and not Him, not the Creator. And we need to be praising Him. The one who sits upon the throne is not named, but is described. And as we look at this tremendous description here in the third verse, and He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And so there was no words that could fill that. Paul tells us back in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's go back there and read that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to read verse 15 and 16. Which in these times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach upon unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. What a letter Paul has penned there. We will begin next week with the description here of the jasper, the sardis, the rainbow. What a beautiful scene that we have. So please, and we're going to look through several verses of Scripture back in Exodus chapter 28. If you would like to go back and read that before next week, why, you sure can. Exodus 28, 17 through 20. It's so important that you study the Word of God, that you look to the power and the presence of God. But before we pray to God the Father, you must come to the Son, the Lord Jesus. There's no other way. And so, please, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. That's Jesus. Believe, 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 and you will possess salvation. One time, He'll keep you, and you'll begin to walk with Him, praising Him, serving Him each and every day. Please, call upon Jesus today for salvation. My dear friend, what are you going to do? about Jesus.